Good morning. It's Monday, and we're already on the 12th of August. The Olympics are over, and the wind started yesterday, which is a very August thing. Now, we're not going to sit here and talk about weather. I can promise you that. With me is the lovely Leanne Moll.
Ta-da!
Look at her. Yeah.
Where are we today?
Today, as you can see out of the window there in the background, you're in Johannesburg, which is great, because you are
pretty precise.
You're in Johannesburg, yeah. And there are a bunch of stuffed animals above the TV, as suggested by our audience. So, you know,
very
we
good.
Had a taxidermist busy over the last couple of weeks collecting strange-looking creatures from all over the world and removing their innards and preserving them. So there they are on the wall behind us. It's looking lovely with Mardeba behind me.
Yes.
Yeah, because I, you know, I always like to have a little bit of history.
So, behind you.
Yeah, of course. Mm. So, how was your weekend? Anything fun?
All good, but hay feverish with all the dust. But as you said, we won't speak about the weather.
Nonsense. You did something very fun that everybody cares about. Ooh. That's so much fun.
So much fun. I couldn't wait. I even made an appointment. I was so excited.
Yes?
To renew my driver's license. Mm.
Lucky
I mean,
you.
Who wants to do that on a weekend?
How was that? Was it nice?
Well, it was recommended to me that I go to Waterfall.
Oh, is that the best one?
Well, you know, you now make an appointment and there are always slots available, thousands of them, lots of slots.
Lots of slots. we like the slots.
That process was really relatively easy.
Yeah.
The build-up wasn't. So it said you needed to take two photographs with you.
Yeah.
So where do you get those these days?
Oh, you can get them pretty much anywhere, can't you?
Really?
Aren't there some Nigerian oaks on the corner of your local shopping center who, we can do a photo? No?
I did that once and they put me in a van and closed the door and I was got a bit concerned. And I was sitting on like Coca-Cola crates. But no, so I went off to a Postmate and while trying to find one, which was right there in Waterfall, it popped up on my Google Maps and the first thing I saw was a horrible review about how unattentive they were.
Uh-huh.
And they lived up to that. It was they were perfectly unattentive.
Fast asleep.
I got there and they were watching YouTube on a laptop, some rap video.
I love that. I go into so many places these days where you can just tell the people who are working there are not actually working there.
No.
That's just where they get paid.
Yes, exactly that. They wake up, get dressed, get paid and go home.
Fucking millennials.
So I waited for him to finish his video and then asked for a photograph and he said, no, we've actually run out of paper for the photograph machine.
Oh.
So I found the next Postnet, which was about 7 kilometers away. Got there, stood in a queue for nearly half an hour.
Oh, no.
Got the photographs. I looked 107 because I was so grumpy.
Can I see them?
Oh, God. I do actually have them. Oh, no. I'm actually getting hot thinking about it.
They're that bad, huh?
They were that bad, but I just thought, you know what? So they got their 60 rand out of me. Only to get to the driver's license place, and you don't need photographs anymore.
Oh. What?
And they knew that.
What a ball ache.
They knew that.
So they just wasted your time.
Two Postnets. Anyway, at least this time I passed the eye test. Last time I battled.
Well, I mean, I had great plans for the weekend. I had a big dinner I had to go to on the Thursday. Because, you know, we started the weekend early. We had a long weekend. It doesn't feel like it on a Monday. It never does.
Mm-hmm.
But Thursday was very exciting. I was like, left the office and I was pretty tired because we'd had a busy couple of days. And I got home on Thursday night and I had to record an interview when I got home. And that went very well. But then I thought, oh, I'm so exhausted. And then I had to go to something else. And I eventually said, no, I'm just going to stay at home. And I went to sleep early because I was buggered. And I mean, I felt kind of bad about it because I canceled on these people at the last moment, but I would have been terrible company. So the way I justified in my head is I go, I would have been tired and grumpy.
Mm.
Wouldn't have been worth it. They would have been like, ugh, why did you invite him? So I just felt like vindicated that I could stay at home. Friday comes along, the public holiday, Women's Day. Happy Women's Day,
Thank
by
you.
The way. And I was like doing stuff around the house and you know, like very chilled, very, very chilled. Friday night comes along. A couple of my friends are like, we're doing this, we're doing that. I'm like, well, I'm not. I'm staying at home. Did it again. Boom, two nights in a row. So that was a really good way to start the weekend. Doing zero with both hands. So very proud of myself.
Very good.
I watched quite a lot of Olympic action.
Yes.
Oh, there was so much. And really yesterday, I mean, I woke up this morning dreaming about the Olympics, which is always a sign that I've either overdone something or I'm a little obsessed.
Yeah. It was all the track and field stuff, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And I got into it and I didn't expect to. In fact, today, Ben is going to pop by a little bit later on because we've got so much to talk about Olympics-wise.
Mm.
And I know that the whole thing's wrapped up and it's done and dusted and people are already thinking about like LA in 2028. But I don't think I've ever enjoyed the Olympics this much. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just at an age where that stuff really appeals to me more. Maybe I've paid more attention. Maybe the Olympics themselves were better. I mean, there were a whole lot of new records set.
Yeah.
You know, I got into it in a way that I didn't expect to. I really thought I'd be like, the Olympics. I mean, especially when it started, you remember we were talking about it. It's like, oh, wow, the Olympics start next weekend. We were all like, shit, what happened?
Yeah, how did that happen?
It wasn't meant to happen so quickly. Anyway, I mean, I did get into it and I was fairly obsessed. I was dreaming about like high jumping and long jumping and running 100 meters and all this stuff, which I definitely wouldn't be able to do now.
Maybe that's the obsession or the interest.
I don't know. Anyway, it was lots of fun. So I enjoyed that thoroughly. Did you get that thing, James, that I sent you about the funny names at the Olympics? There's a video with the funny names. I'll resend it just now to you because it's worth playing. It's like some of the because you got all the countries of the world. I mean, there were some flags there that last night I didn't recognize. And I used to be a total flag nerd. I'd be able to tell you, a vexillologist. I used to be able to tell you like, oh, there's Bhutan and there's Gabon. And now I'm like,
have there been any new flags lately?
Yeah, there are a couple, like South Sudan, you know? Like St. Vincent and the Grenadines, which, I mean, it was always there, but it didn't really have like national status, far as I could tell. And there are a few new countries, but also they've redone the flags for some of them. And also, I can never remember which stan is which, like Kyrgyzstan, Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan,
Pakistan,
Turkmenistan. Yeah, it's like, it's too many stans, you know? Stan means country, just, you know, obvious.
Okay, well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then I saw the very funniest thing that I didn't even know this had happened, but apparently it was a couple of years ago. There was some event in the Middle East, and this country couldn't find the right anthem for Kazakhstan, so they found the version from Borat, and they played that by mistake. So you see this athlete from Kazakhstan and she's standing there.
Did that happen at this Olympics?
No, not in this Olympics.
Oh, no, because I remember it. Yeah, it was a while back.
And this this woman standing there, she's like being awarded the medal or whatever. And in the background, it's Kazakhstan, greatest country in the world. All other country run by little girls. Kazakhstan, third biggest importer of potassium. I was watching this going, that's so great. I was hoping something like that would happen this year.
Because if you had to Google it, that's probably the first thing that would come up.
Borat's version would come up way before the original. The actual Kazakhstan anthem. Oh, man, it was so much fun. And then I was watching the teams coming into the stadium last night. And I don't know, like most of our guys are already back home. So I don't know who did we keep there to the end, you know?
I thought they all stayed on, but I suppose not.
I don't think so.
It's a cost.
Yeah, it's expensive. How come nobody has a triangle or circular flag? Let's redo our flag and make it round.
Oh, you mean the outline, so not Japan with a circle.
So I think if you look at Bhutan, which is why I mentioned them, it actually goes like that.
It's okay.
Like a pennant. And the Swiss flag,
it's not,
is square.
Yes.
It's squarer than the rest.
Yes.
The rest are more rectangular, you know?
Yeah.
There's like a standard flag shape, and then there's the Swiss. And there's one other country that also has it slightly smaller. So there are some different shapes, Carl. But no one has a round flag.
I can't see that flapping well.
I don't know. It doesn't work.
The attached bit would probably make it fall off after
a while.
It's
not great.
No.
And the funniest thing I also saw over the weekend, I don't know if this, you know, maybe it was just an Instagram or a social media thing, but they showed a Kim Jong-un, someone in the comments, Christian says, like a fake Kim Jong-un impersonator. And he was standing with a Winnie the Pooh bear, like punching it or something, right in front of the North Korean team. And they were all like,
oh dear, not allowed to laugh.
No, we can't like even acknowledge this. And this fake Kim Jong-un looked exactly like
him. Oh dear.
But like exactly like him. So it's hilarious. So yeah, I had a very fun weekend. Thoroughly enjoyed all of it. And I can tell like winter's, I don't want to jinx it, but winter's coming to an end, you know?
Yeah, it's all happening. I was thinking about my bikini body this year.
And?
Oh, I think about it every year. It's just,
and?
It's just a fleeting wish.
Oh, right. Okay, it's your
September
imagination.
September comes around every year and I'm like, I'm still not bikini ready. But this is a bikini body.
Wow.
Yeah.
England is just a disaster at the moment, huh? The hell's going on there?
I didn't realize how big the it was going on, but the amount of people, it's
and also
vast.
The government there is so stupid that they, instead of dealing with the disease, they treat the symptoms. They're like trying to arrest people for spreading hate on social media. Now, you know, if there's one group of complete morons in the world, it's people who talk about hate as anything they don't like. So in other words, if I said to you on X or on Instagram or something, oh, Leanne, you know, you're not bikini body right, even if you've just said it. Then they'll say, oh, well, that's hate.
Body shaming.
It's misogyny and body shaming and hate.
Yeah.
And then they'd want to have me canceled from the internet because I'm being hateful. Now, you know, just because you don't like hearing something doesn't mean that other people don't have the right to say it. And this idea that all hate is bad is also ridiculous. It's childish. Some things should be hated. Like, you know, a child molester. It's okay to hate them. Someone who is like those people we interviewed the other day, serial killer. They wrote this book about serial killers. If you're a serial killer, it's entirely appropriate for me to hate you. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are things that are worthy of hate in the world. And frankly, if your country's going to absolute shit, which is happening in Britain at the moment, I really think it's becoming like a failed state because you've got so many people illegally coming into your country. They are not assimilating at all. They are speaking the same language that they spoke in their shithole country they come from. And I mean, I use the word shithole because Donald Trump used to say that and it got him into huge trouble and people, it's so insensitive and we must cancel him and it's hate. Like, there are shithole countries. Again, it's not hate, it's true. Like, if you came from Equatorial Guinea, like, that's a shithole country, okay? It's run like a family business, but badly, not even as well as a spaza shop.
Yeah.
And they go to places like Britain, which used to be, you know, like this first world great country. It's becoming a bit of a shithole too, because all the people going there are bringing their shithole stuff from shithole countries and turning it into a shithole. That's what happens. You know, it doesn't take a majority of people to change things. It just takes a small minority of people who are willing to not compromise at all.
Yeah.
So what's happened is in Leeds of all places, I mean, Leeds, when last was that famous? Do they even have a football team that's worth paying attention to? No, they don't, you see. No one's really thought about Leeds for, 100 years.
Yeah.
Even the people who were born there, like, where are you from? I don't know. I think I'm from Leeds, but I'm not sure. Anyway, Leeds is where is the epicenter of all of this. Bunch of people who are like, you know what? Actually, I don't like the fact that some illegal immigrant is trying to, like, rape my daughter because she's walking around in a, I don't know. And again, like, you know, English girls have been dressing badly for hundreds of years. I don't know why this should suddenly be an excuse for people who are from other countries to think they can take advantage of them. But, you know, somebody got upset because there were these little girls who were stabbed at a Taylor Swift dance class.
Mm.
You know, little English girls, and by people who are not from Britain. And this guy happened to have been born there, but his parents were Rwandan. And there's a lot of crime in England at the moment that has to do with illegal immigrants. Most of them don't go to jail. And people are like, how come you apply the law to us, but you don't apply the law to these illegal immigrants? First of all, they're illegal immigrants. You should apply that law.
Yeah, that's the first red flag.
And then second of all, let's just have equality of treatment here. Anyway, the government has done exactly the wrong thing because what they're doing.
I was going to say now, who's to blame?
Well, they've been letting people into Britain over the last 30 or 40 years. All the governments, the Tories and the Labour Party governments, have all been doing this. No one's corrected them. No one's changed the policy. No one's done anything about it. It just gets worse and worse. And now you've got Keir Starmer there, who's like a full-on socialist. And he has no idea of what to do. You can tell he's lost because now he doesn't want to be seen to be like being mean to the immigrants, because that would equate to racism, you know, and God forbid that.
Cancellation.
Yeah, and white people in Britain are more terrified of being called racist than they are of being called child molesters or murderers, which is ridiculous. So obviously what they've done is they're scouring the internet like a Gestapo police state. And if you say anything mean about illegal immigrants, they arrest you.
Yeah,
they'll arrest you. It's ridiculous. So I don't know what to do about this nose of mine.
That's the thing. Of course, I've just finished watching The Crown. So thinking about...
Is that still on?
Charles. No. Well, it's still, accessible.
How many fucking seasons of that must be watched?
Six. There were six of them. And I'm just finishing off now. But... King Charles was all for allowing this to happen as well. He was also like, let's all be a happy multinational nation.
And they've got the Commonwealth and everything else. And listen, don't get me wrong. I have no problem with a country. And one of the nice things about watching the Olympics is you see how mixed and diverse all these countries are.
Yeah.
Right? Like you've got people who look Asian, but they're in the Brazilian team. You've got people who look like they're from Africa, but they're in the French team. That's nice. I don't have a problem with that. It's the illegal component of it and the fact that these people don't assimilate into the countries that they're in. You know, there was a Dutch woman who won the marathon, for example, and she was wearing a headscarf. So she's obviously a Muslim, but she's Dutch. She knew the words of the anthem. Mm. So I don't care where she's from originally. I don't care that she's Somalian or Ethiopian or wherever the hell she's from. But for the purposes of winning that marathon, she was Dutch. And that's good. I don't have a problem with that. Who would? But the problem is, these people who are like, we're not going to change. We want to keep being Somalian, but we want to do it in Minnesota. And we don't want to speak English. And we don't want to change our culture or any of that stuff. And then I'm like, well, why did you move? Because if you moved, but you want to retain all of the things that you're fleeing from, surely you got to make a decision too. It's like a little bit of give and take. You know, if a friend of mine goes to live in a foreign country, I expect them to support the team of the country they've moved to. Otherwise, why did you move there? If you're still South African, stay here. Right?
Yeah.
Can't go and, like, get all excited about the Springboks. And I know I'm going to get shit from people who live all over the world and listen to us. But you can't get all excited about the Springboks if you've decided to become a Canadian, because now you're a Canadian, you've made your choices. I don't care about patriotism. I don't care about the Springboks. But if you do, it's kind of like you're hanging on to something. You know, Rich Mulholland said the other day that when he moved to the Isle of Man.
Yes. Which has an interesting flag in itself.
It's got like those three legs all joined at the middle.
Yeah.
But he said some things that I thought were very smart. He's like, we're not going to miss anything. We're not going to think about the things we miss because we've got to settle in here. We've got to figure out like how to become people of the Isle of Man now instead of South Africans that have moved somewhere. I'm not saying you need to give up your history or any of that stuff or your culture, but you have to kind of become a part of the country that you've moved to, because somewhere in your head, you moved there for a reason. And that reason is probably a good reason, because no one wants to uproot their lives and start again in another new place without having very, very good, well thought through, well structured ideas about what you want to achieve by moving everything. It's one of the most traumatic things a person can do.
Yeah, and a lot of the time, it's not really out of choice or a love for that country. It's because they'll accept you.
Well, okay.
They'll let you in, or they won't catch you out if you're illegal, or it's just easier.
Yeah, look, whatever your reasons are, I'm not going to say good or bad reasons. That's for you. And I have no problem. I used to be one of those people who'd be like upset with people if they left South Africa, or I'd be upset if they moved to country X or country Y. You got to do whatever you want to do. Like, if you're doing it for your kids, awesome. If you're doing it because you really like ice hockey, awesome. If you're doing it because you got a job opportunity, great. If you want to go and study somewhere, amazing. Do it. I'm not going to give you any shit about any of that stuff, because frankly, like, countries can be a bit lame sometimes, right? Like, the reasons for being in a country, you're just born there. It's just geography and your parents fucking.
Yeah.
That's all.
It's like being born a man or a woman or not.
Yeah. It's not the most interesting thing about you. But if you are there and you want to be there and you've made a serious personal choice to make that your base on earth, then make it work. You know, don't just like exist. I think it's the apathy that drives me crazy.
Mm.
Not so much anything else. And I think a lot of people are also, they don't know who they are, so that they take on like group identification. So it makes them feel special. Now, I think that's okay to a degree, but it shouldn't be everything. Right. After that little rant.
Well, it wasn't so much of a rant. It's very sensible.
I just think that, you know, to then go and arrest your people, if you're Keir Starmer, to go around like basically having the police, you know, the British police, who are so scary.
Bobbies.
Hello, we're here to arrest you because you've been posting nasty things about Somalians. What? No, we've been following you on X. Don't you have, like, I don't know, thieves and teenage yobbos to go and arrest? No, we're here to arrest you because you're saying inappropriate stuff on internet. Okay. All right, that makes perfect sense. Anyway, that's Britain for you. For today, Sir Keir Starmer, great. World's favorite socialist of the moment. We've got lots of other cool stuff to talk about. As I said to you, I'm obsessed with the Olympics. I'm actually kind of sad it's over. I was like, I watched the closing ceremony up to like 10:30, and then I was like, I can't, I've got to go to sleep. So I didn't watch the whole thing.
So was the closing ceremony, unlike the opening, all in the stadium?
It was all in the stadium. Some beautiful shots of Paris. I mean, that was another thing that made me kind of realize, like, some countries just have such a lot to show off. I mean, you could, if you're showing off South Africa, you could show off our wildlife and our natural beauty and, you know, the people and all the different cultures here. And it's good to show off. But man, Paris has some beautiful buildings. I know they started a lot of the races around the Hôtel de Ville, which is the city hall of Paris. They did a lot of the events at the Invalides on the Champs-Élysées in front of the Eiffel Tower. They did some of it at the equestrian stuff at Versailles. God, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And it just looked so great. Like, Paris just looked amazing. Paris in summer is beautiful, but those buildings, sure.
The twice I've been, so I really don't have a lot of experience, and they were both short-lived. I just remember it stinking of urine, and it was pretty dirty and foul.
Yeah, that's Paris.
Okay, just checking we had the same place, one.
Yeah, so this is why you've actually maybe got to go see these cities.
Hey,
when
hello.
This is why you got to see these cities when FIFA or the IOC own them.
He just crawled up on you like Christopher Reeve.
He was under the desk the whole time. What do you mean?
I went to Rio during the FIFA World Cup.
Yes.
And it was nice. And it wasn't like, I didn't get mugged. No one stabbed me. Minimal urine. A week after, if I'd gone stabbed,
For sure.
All my belongings gone.
They go to a lot of trouble to make it look nice. I mean, like, even didn't we get rid of during the 2010 World Cup? I don't know, all the homeless people.
We got rid of a lot of homeless people.
We threw them in mine shafts and shit, and nobody cared.
No,
everybody was like, oh, I don't know where those homeless oaks are anymore. There's no one begging on the streets. Meanwhile, bottom of mine shaft, just like...
Oh, but that's every city.
Homeless people, like, please, can we come out yet?
That's absolutely every city. In 2011, I was in Auckland for the Rugby World Cup final.
Yeah.
And that very next Monday, that Monday, suddenly there was bad music on every street corner. There was old people asking for change. But you thought you didn't see it the whole time. Suddenly so some bad. Wheezy old guy is like tugging on your jersey saying, oh, you got a rand, got a dollar.
But damn it, I love these Olympics.
They were great.
I got to thank you, Ben. That's the reason I actually was really excited to see you this morning, because I wasn't into it. And for some reason this year, of all the Olympics, and I mean, I kind of had a passing interest in it before, especially when I was at school. It was kind of, you know, you'd have to do athletics. And I kind of liked athletics at school. It was a fun thing. Track and field, I could do a bit of high jump. I ran some middle distance. Nothing exciting. I didn't win any like medals.
Yeah.
But watching the Olympics, it reminded me of that excitement.
Which is exactly what it should be. And, you know, the thing is, if you look at the Olympics in previous years, 2012 was the last time we had one on our time zone.
Yeah.
And then it went to Rio. Obviously, prior to that was Beijing. Then it went to Rio. Then it went to Tokyo and the COVID games, which had no feel. So for the first time in a long time, it's meant something to us because we could physically watch it and it physically was a connection point.
It's amazing. And I loved, like they said, there were 32 or 33 different sports.
Yep.
Some of them were ridiculous, like the breakdancing. I mean, that shouldn't be a sport.
No.
And there was one Australian woman who disgraced herself. Just some middle-aged white lady.
No,
it was bad.
Oh.
So bad. And I don't even want to post it on my timeline because it'll be there forever. And someone will go, ooh, maybe he liked that.
Well, there's so many layers to the story. This woman has a PhD in breakdancing, which means some parent is paying their child to listen to this person talk about breakdancing. And now they've gone and shown what they know about breakdancing.
And it's bad.
Yeah.
All of it is very bad.
Oh, no.
Okay, but let's do a little summary because you watched almost all of it. And you and I were messaging each other the whole way through it as well. It was just a great games. I loved every single thing that I saw.
Yeah, I mean, people can nitpick on a few things. Obviously, like demonic opening ceremony. There's all kinds of other things. But
You have to have an opening ceremony occasionally that's demonic.
But at the same time,
that's the price we have to pay.
It's been proven any stage in life. You get a certain amount of humans together, you will get some shits. It's never going to be perfect. But this Olympics was just so great in so many different ways. And one of the more interesting things was that when America goes to the Olympics, they have the most athletes.
Yes.
Not only that, they are the most resourced of all athletes. So they always win.
They've got a big team.
But they always win because you got the college system as well. So the best track and field is coming out of there from a young age. And somehow, they ended up with the same amount of gold medals as China.
Right.
Now, when it was in Beijing, obviously, it was like mandated, you guys must beat everybody who has had the most golds, otherwise you won't see your children. Whereas now, they actually got a tour, and they got the same amount of gold medals. And I think the person who's going to feel the most shitty about this is Shelby McEwen. So in the Tokyo Games, the high jump finished as level.
Yeah.
The guy from Qatar and the guy from Italy, they just couldn't get a winner. So they're like, you know what? We're going to share the medal in one of these most amazing moments that you'll then see sponsored by Toyota afterwards.
Right.
And what this guy was like, no, I'm not sharing this medal, because him and this Kiwi guy finished tied fourth. So then they had a jump off, and the American guy hit the thing every single time and ended up losing. So if he had just said, yeah, cool, I'll share it with you, America would have had the most gold medals.
So it was literally over that?
Yeah. And the fact that the American basketball teams both won, the men and the women. So they didn't win that. China would have had the most medals, which would have been incredible because they kind of expected it in Beijing because they just spent all the money on it. But here it was.
So while you're talking about that, I just want to go through the table quickly because it's quite interesting.
I've got a few here.
Okay, go for it.
So America had the most medals, 126 medals. So 40 gold, 44 silver, and 42 bronze. And then China after that were 40 gold, 27 and 24. So Japan were third, Australia were fourth. But if you look at Australia's population, they can basically claim to be the best sporting nation in the whole world. Because they got 18 gold, 19 silver, and 16 bronze. They finished fourth. Look at the population between them and anybody. Yeah. But it wasn't always like this, you know. Back in the 70s, when the Aussies were peak feral, they were completely unruly. They went to the Montreal Games in 1976.
Yeah.
And they had 184 athletes, zero golds.
Wow.
They literally went up for a piss up. But back then, Australians, they all had mustaches, and they all wore tiny shorts, and they used to just... they were a mess. So then Prime Minister Malcolm Fraser said, not a fuck. You blokes are going to go now and you're going to actually make this work. And he said, we're never going to pass up on the talent of this country ever again. And they literally created the Australian Institute of Sport. And since then, they put a lot of money into it and they started winning medals.
Right. So you have to have an engine behind this.
You have to.
And absolutely there's a support staff. A lot of those people came into the field last night too. We got six, right? South Africa.
So we ended up in 44th, Gareth, which was better than last time. We're 52nd in Tokyo. So last time, one gold, two silvers. This time we had one gold, three silver, and two bronze.
Okay. And the gold was obviously Tatiana Smith.
Yes.
And she's then, our swimmer. Breaststroke was the gold.
Yeah, for the what 200.
The silvers?
The silvers were for the women's javelin.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes, Joanne van Dijk. Joanne. It's not Joanne.
Joanne.
Something like that. Anyway, I saw them interviewing her. She was great.
She was amazing. She got a silver behind the Japanese woman. Tatiana got the silver for breaststroke 200 meters.
Right.
Which she just came up against an unstoppable force from America. And then the men's... obviously, the men's 4x100
relay.
Yeah, that was excellent. So that was pretty cool. And then don't forget, the Blitzbox got the sevens for bronze after beating the Aussies. And then Alan Hathaway, he got the men's mountain bike bronze.
Yeah, okay.
Which cool. was, I mean, I watched that race. It was incredible. He was up against really like seasoned performers.
What's your favorite event, Ben?
My favorite event was, so difficult to say. I mean, the 100 and 200 meters, obviously huge.
Sure.
I really got into the 400, particularly the women's 400, 400 meter hurdles.
Yeah.
Just the most interesting athletes.
I like that Kipyegon woman who's like won gold 3 years in a row.
It's phenomenal.
For 800, is it?
1.5.
1.5, sorry.
Yeah. It's
from Kenya.
Gareth, there were so many incredible highlights that were actually quite easy to follow. So it's not like, well, I've been watching the IAAF Diamond League, whatever. I need to know these people. You go on there, you see who they are, you click on social media, you get more things. The app was so good.
Yeah.
But the weightlifting for me was just so incredibly all-consuming. This Georgian guy who won like the big dude, the 102 kilogram plus man one, where they basically, if you think of it this way, the Georgian guy stands over here. He picks up Ibn Etzebeth and Peter Steptoe and he does this.
Yeah.
And he holds it.
Wow.
And the bell goes off.
Wow.
It's wild. There was a Polish woman, shot putter. Jesus. Let me tell you what. She put a shot. Or shot a put.
Yeah.
She was frightening.
So she'd be good at baking bread and things like this.
Well, there's the hammer throw as well. Those women were quite
the hammer throw
and beating rugs.
So my favorite was the Canadian dude who won the hammer throw. He looked like he was just there for fun.
Yeah,
he came out with a flag last night for Canada. By the way, whoever designed Canada's outfits, you guys the get the shittest outfits.
That's exactly what my dad said.
Right, so shit.
Because during the games, there was streaky bacon.
Their tracksuit looked like bacon and meat. And then when they came out yesterday, they had like a...
It was a darker version of that.
It was like so the Lady Gaga dress.
It was
so bad.
Charred bacon.
These are the people that are representing your country. Try not to make them look absolutely, utterly shit. You know?
It's again, how many people does it pass
But that
through?
Canadian dude with the hammer was awesome. You can tell he just does that in his backyard and like...
He's been throwing things since he was a small child.
Yeah, and I mean, he just goes like this and
everything.
You know, the other Oaks put all of you could see they've trained it. And he just goes, there we go.
Well, there was a request for him to do a DNA test because many people thought he was actually Australian. Because of his moustache and just no care attitude, just walked up
that's
there.
How Canadians used to be once before they became like
Well, I mean,
Justin
as we said the other day, like, you know, Canada, Australia with snow.
They were bear and mountain people.
Yeah. Tough. They're weak now, except for him. And then, obviously, Ben and I became massive pole vaulting fans.
Yes.
Who would have guessed? There were a lot of really, really attractive-looking women in the pole vault.
They generally are.
Track, which is just amazing. And honestly, like middle-distance female runners, best bodies.
Yeah, definitely. Biggest discipline. But I just thought it was so interesting. And this is the one event. And I don't knock women's sport. It's just that when people ask me if I watch something, I generally say no because I don't have the time to watch everything.
Yeah. Mm.
But the Olympics does tee up a lot of women's sports to be just as exciting as
Absolutely.
The men.
Absolutely.
And it's the only time you can really say that outside of maybe a little bit of tennis here or there. And it really was quite something. And like for me, the biggest takeout was, I think as humans, we need to kind of understand that this is actually worth cheering for.
Yeah.
What we do with our meat as humans is really exciting. So, you know, in a time
well, how about like Andy's comment, what country was the Poland pole action dude? He was French.
Yes,
he was. When his meat hit the pole.
Causing it to.
Oh, I mean, that was a great moment.
I love that moment. A lot
of people's favorite moments of the Olympics is seeing the guy's cock knock the pole down.
It showed poor technique, but fantastic endowment. I mean, this is the thing. It's the give and take.
Apparently, he's been offered $250,000 by like some adult entertainment site.
Oh, has he really? Yeah. Because we said.
Just published along on a live feed. It. But this is what I thought was so great about the Olympics. Actually, when I was listening to the marathon, or watching the marathon yesterday, a commentator mentioned it, is that in a world where there's all kinds of fuckery going on, isn't it great that the whole world can focus and find out who the fastest person is, who the strongest person is, who the person who can do this the best? And we need to really focus on that more as humans, because that's what we should be focusing on. Not about ideologies and pronouns and all this other crap that people identify with. Mm. What do you do with your meat in life, basically?
Yeah.
Because when that happens, you build discipline, you build a following of people who are actually watching you for positive reasons.
Yes.
You're creating a positive influence on other people growing up.
Yes.
And it's just one of those times when the world stops being dicks and just looks at something and goes, oh, look at that. That guy can put the pole over there and go over higher than anybody else.
So any athletes who you actually think are worth paying attention to going forward? Because, I mean, obviously there were, you know, famous ones, the tennis players. And I think they were probably your top tier guys anyway, in terms of being familiar to us.
I'm glad you asked, because this is where every time the Olympics comes around, everyone's like, yeah, I should watch a bit more track and field.
Yeah.
And then you don't, because I think you should actually just leave it in this little bubble. I don't want to watch people again until LA.
4 years time, yeah.
And obviously, I'm in sports. I'll pick up some stuff via kind of general osmosis, but it's kind of cool that you don't know so much. Like going into that and not knowing who Armand Duplantis was, and then suddenly you're on in that day and you're finding out about him.
Oh,
that's cool.
And yeah, just like your favorite from last time has suddenly retired, and there's someone totally new to follow. It's not, you know, like watching a sport where there's a continuous winner every single year.
Yeah. You know, it's just, again, when you watch them do these things, it's like, wow, that's incredible. If you'd watched them in various stages doing this, it's not such a big deal. So I think it's just one of those amazing bubbles, but we should just be more into being like this, I think, as humans, because this is what the Olympics was really meant to be.
Yeah.
Sure, other things get distracted from here, but this is what it is. So we should all have some sort of Olympic spirit in ourselves going forward, I think.
So everybody just use your meat properly is what I'm saying.
But no, but like want to do something with your meat. This is what it comes down to, because every single person that we saw at the Olympics there, it was like, that's what a human should look like. Yes, we're all different shapes and sizes, but we sort from the hammer throwers down to the like small gymnasts who are obviously like forced into doing that from the age of 7.
Yeah.
There is every shape
little
of the
Chinese
world.
Little Chinese girls, you could tell they've been threatened with violence if they didn't do synchronized swimming properly.
It's that or needle works. I mean, sometimes maybe it's actually the better side of the coin.
Yeah.
But the Olympics shows you every shape and size can do something phenomenal in this world.
Yeah, I mean, there were little people, tall people, short people, overweight people, underweight people.
And I mean, even older people.
Older ones, yes.
Even older.
Very, very exciting.
But that modern, so last event I'll talk about, that modern pentathlon.
Yes.
I mean, it's just at Versailles, it was just beautiful, but it just looked like I've got rich friends and this is what we do on the weekend. It was amazing. Mm. They get on the horses, they do the horse stuff. They then get this like fencing thing that just inflates and they have a bit of a fence.
That's great.
And then they're running and then they're doing laser tag and...
Laser tag.
Well, like they're shooting, but there's no guns, so it's just a laser.
Oh yeah,
it's amazing.
It's brilliant.
It does look like a rich people's fun weekend.
That was so fun. It's like a finishing thing to watch of the Olympics.
All right, well, I love it, and well done to everybody who scored those medals here for South Africa. I don't know if we actually had anyone there still yesterday, but people came out with the flag. So
Yeah, we had people hanging around if they were allowed to
hanging around.
Yeah, so we're the second best African team.
Okay, not bad.
Algeria were the best African with 39 because they had Emali Khelif, the boxer. And then they had that French gymnast who jumped the ship so she could keep her coaches, and then she got a gold too. Mm. Yeah, so 44th
not bad.
In the world.
Not great, but not bad.
Hmm.
Could do better.
We will do better next time.
Yeah. Which countries are becoming like... Russia obviously wasn't there. And Russia... in every other Olympics has usually done okay. Because also they would illegally inject women with like steroids from the age of two.
It's a shame that Russia's not there because they're a huge force and they always have been since the Soviet days. Unfortunately, they cheat.
Unfortunate.
It's an actual case of cheaters never prosper because they've been kicked out. But it'd be cool to get them back.
They never cheat.
I mean, I don't have the stats, but out of all the Russians that just, they're a band, right? Yeah. How many of them went to other countries? So you'll see, like, there was a Russian who was in for, I don't know, some horrible country.
And one of the women high jumpers.
Yes, that's the example.
She looked so Russian. She was the most Russian-looking woman I've ever seen in my life.
And she was there jumping for Romania, I think
Cyprus.
It was. Cyprus, that's the one, yeah.
And, I mean, you know she's not from Cyprus.
So all these...
Cyprus, everyone looks like those little infantas from Spain with a beard.
Exactly, hairy forearms.
And this woman looked like this... this ice creature from the far reaches of Siberia.
Yeah.
It's not right. But it is exciting also. You see the world. And what I loved, without being too like lame and shame about it, it's like all the athletes were really nice to each other. Like there was obviously the only people who couldn't treat each other with respect to the cyclists who were like pushing each other out of the way and like being really cunty. But everyone else was extra nice.
But that's just competition.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Track cycling as well. That was crazy.
Yeah.
I love watching that.
So fast.
There's just so much going on all the time. A friend of mine was there and he posted on Instagram. He was like, I have no idea what's going on, but I love it. Because at one stage, there's about 40 of them on the track. And then they hoy their mate over with their hand. It's just...
I used to watch outdoor track racing a lot when I grew up around it because of my dad.
Oh, wow.
But the problem with that is when you fall, it's really damaging. I think my dad put his teeth through his moustache a couple of times and broke all his collarbones many times.
XR wants to know, Ben, how did the refugee camp team do?
That's a very good question. I didn't check. team Refugi.
Refugi?
Yeah, how did they do?
I have to check on the app quickly.
I can't imagine they did very well.
I don't think they got any medals.
Yeah.
But it was all about them being there.
No food, like living in tents, not very good.
Well, they were at the village. They got to eat like everyone else.
Oh, did they? Okay. So
No food in the build-up.
Did everybody else subsidize their food and drink?
You think they're going to keep Camp Refugi outside? It's like, no, you're part of the thing, Gareth.
I would. Goes along with everything else.
They're going to give them little tents.
Isn't that keeping them in character? It's like, okay, you guys live outside the village.
No, wait, no, they got a bronze.
Oh.
They got a bronze for boxing.
Oh.
Fighters.
Well, they have to be. They
have to be.
You have to be tenacious to survive in the refugee camp.
Good for them. So they finished 84th.
Okay, so who was worse than them?
Worse, Zambia, terrible. Just the one bronze, as was Slovakia. Singapore as well, with all the money incentives that they have.
Yes, I mean, none of them, the government didn't have to hand over any houses or anything.
Qatar,
right?
Ivory Coast, yeah, they were all terrible, just the one medal.
Shame.
I think the most embarrassing nation out of all of them is India.
Oh, yeah.
The most populous nation in the world.
Yeah, I mean, really.
One silver, five bronzes.
Very pushy.
What I really loved in the men's javelin, because obviously arch rival is Pakistan.
Yeah.
And then this Pakistani oak rocks up, just hoists the javelin, wins gold. And then the Indian guy got silver.
Well, they're always throwing things over that border at each other.
And then, India are embarrassing. And then I see online, if you say that, people will say like, yeah, but we make doctors and engineers.
Yeah, but this is not, that's not what the Olympics is.
No. You're really embarrassed. You should be a good Olympic country. That's what I'm going with this.
Yeah, if you want to be taken seriously, I think you need to be good at Olympics.
Let's get back to basics.
I'm with you.
Let's get back to basics on this.
All right, I love it. Thanks, Ben. That's been fun. I didn't know I'd get into it so much.
Yeah, and so obviously LA is the next one.
Mm.
So that's going to be a terrible time zone for us. There will be sort of different sports coming in and out.
And they got a lot of cleaning up to do. I mean, really?
Whoa, yeah, yes. But I mean...
California... big shithole at the
but
moment.
You remember when the Chinese dictator went in there, they cleaned that place up.
That's
quite
true.
Quickly.
Yeah, Gavin Newsom, the Ken doll guy who's in charge of California, he's the governor, he really jumped too when his communist overlord came to visit. So he could do it. I mean, you know, the thing about communists is they always are terrified of commands coming from Stalin above.
Yeah.
So they'll do what they need to do, obviously. And also, he doesn't want any more bad press about California. By the way, I don't even know if he'll still be in that role.
No. 4 years. I think America will be quite different in 4 years. For better or for worse, it'll be quite different in 4 years.
Yes,
and this is what's the great thing about the Olympics, that you get to see these countries in these little blips.
Absolutely.
But from there, it's in Brisbane 2032. I think that's the one we should go to. I don't really want to go to American one, but the Brisbane one will be great.
Yeah, and Brisbane is so, I mean, that's probably the better part of Australia. That east side is much nicer than the west side.
I mean, obviously the weather's really cool. You've got the Gold Coast.
Yeah, I think we should do that.
It's a bit more laid back. The weather's nicer. So 2032, we're going to do it.
Okay.
I mean, you'll be quite old still.
I'm keen.
But you'll be young enough to try.
I'll be so rich. I'll have so much money.
Even better.
Yeah. No kids, no wife. I'll be ready to spend on the Olympics.
But speaking about Australia, I mean, obviously I came through to talk about the Olympics and just do some sport because there was no Friday.
Yes.
Do you want to get into sport now?
Yeah. Let's go because we've got Dr. Hanan waiting, standing by. But go on.
How many minutes have I got?
You got four.
Four. Okay. Well, this week is, of course, UFC 305.
Okay.
So Drukas is in Australia right now.
Fight week starts.
This is fight week. So it is the big fight that everyone's been kind of waiting for and looking forward to. It's more than the title. It really is. So on the way up, Drukas was always trying to be the middleweight champ.
Mm.
While this was happening, Israel Adesanya was at his dominant best. He had seven fights. He rocketed towards the title. He defended the belt five times. Sasoke was, in living memory, basically the greatest middleweight there is. Anderson Silva is probably the greatest of all time, the Brazilian guy. So Drukas was always going to want this fight at some stage, but now he's the title holder. So Adesanya's now come back. He took a break. This guy has been fighting 3-4 times a year since he was like 15. And now he's taken an 11-month break, and now he's going to come back to fight Drukas. And he hates Drukas because he wants to be the African champ.
Yes.
And Drukas is the only African champ who lives in Africa. The rest of them pissed off to first world countries.
Right.
Drukas is like, no, I'm doing this here for my people. And he's built up this absolute groundswell of support in doing so. And even now in Perth, he went early so he could watch the BOC game this last Saturday at a fan village, get everyone round. So by the time Adesanya comes out from his slumber and fights Drukas in Australia, his neck of the woods, all he's going to see is Afrikaans just shouting at him, oh, you do us. Drukas going to pluck some of you. And he's not going to know it's going to hit him this Saturday. It's going to be such an incredible shock for Israel Adesanya, who is amazing. He's absolutely incredible. But that's 305. So you can watch the box playing the Aussies and whacking them again. I think even more so because they beat them 33-7 this last week. They'll be playing in Perth. So you'll get that game by 11:45 Saturday.
Right.
And then Sunday morning from about 5:36, you'll see Drukas Adesanya. So this is one of those sporting weekends where... Well,
listen to this. Ricky says, I met Drukas on Saturday. I met the Springboks yesterday. I've got Ricky's tickets for the rugby and the UFC this weekend. Oh, what a weekend it'll be. That sounds amazing.
So everyone who immigrated to Perth and you've had some lean years, very boring place, nice sunshine, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
You've been waiting for this moment the whole time.
Yeah.
It's like the people who then went to Brisbane. They got to watch the box this last Saturday.
Right.
It's actually kind of sad. You see all these Springboks, you go, wow, hometown support. You go, wow, not good for our economy. So that is the big weekend. We've got the box. We've got Drukas. It's all happening in Perth. If you're around Perth, it's going to be the most amazing thing. And of course, all the football starts this weekend.
Well, that's it. I'm moving to Perth.
Unrelated. So yeah. So Karin, if you want to see it, like when Drukas fought for the first time for the title, a lot of people, it was their first time. It was in Canada. And they all watched this card, which is the most boring card of UFC history. And everyone's like, the sport sucks. And then eventually his fight came on at about 8 o'clock and people were watching since 4. So how this works is that the main card starts at 4 a.m. and then we don't know what the exact time is, just like in boxing.
Okay.
So I would say be safe, 5:30 to 6, and you'll fight after that.
Okay, but early.
Yeah, early. Okay. So this is obviously a huge week for that. Join us, Sandile and I, on The Bounce Show on Thursday, where we're going to unpack all of this in depth.
Excellent.
And, of course, go into the seasons because the English Premier League starts... The Liga starts, all those great things in football, it all starts this week. So we're saying goodbye to the Olympics, but we're saying hello to the next whack of sport for the second half of the year.
Nice.
Magic beyond the scoreboard. And that's brought to you by Superbets and Ben this morning. It's nice to have you here on a Monday. And don't miss the show, The On The Bounce Show, which is every Thursday live at 4 in the afternoon. And you can watch it whenever you like online as well. Thanks, Ben.
All right, guys.
Superbet supports responsible gambling. Strictly now under 18s. Winners know when to stop. The South African Responsible Gambling Foundation's toll-free counseling hotline, 0800 006 008. It is time to talk to Dr. Hanan, who is standing by. Hey, Doc, I hope you're good.
I'm good. How are you doing, guys?
Can't hear you. Sorry. Got it?
Can you hear me? Yes.
Okay, perfect. So we got an email from Heather. She says, about a year and a half ago, I found out my husband was having an affair with my best friend.
Oh.
Yeah. To summarize, the world fell apart. We have kids. So do they. Both couples have decided to stay together and work through it. Stay together like a four?
Like a foursome? No. And even as friends? I don't know.
Terrible. Oh. So we've done this. We're busy doing it. We'll probably forever be doing it. My husband and I are at a really good place right now. I still have many feelings towards my friend, which is hindering me from moving on. It bothers me that I think about her so often. I find myself processing our interactions, conversations, and text messages over and over, fantasizing about things I should have done or could or would have said. It sounds strange, but her betrayal is more puzzling to me than my husband's. We live in a small community, so I've avoided her as much as possible. I haven't spoken to her directly about what happened. Due to circumstances, I come in contact with her much more often next year than I have this year. And so I'm thinking about asking her to meet, which she has indicated she would also like to do. My question is, should I do this? Would this be helpful? If so, what questions should I ask her so that I'll be able to move on from my relationship with her? Try to make sense of it. I just want to move on and stop thinking about her all day. Oh, Doc, where do we even begin? This is horrible.
Yeah, this is quite nasty. And there are two relationships here to manage. Her relationship with her husband and the relationship with her best friend or ex-best friend. And she's indicated in the email that the reason for the email is how does she manage the relationship with her best friend?
Right.
So first of all, trust is one of those things that it takes forever to build and a split second to destroy. And every relationship is really a contract between however many people in terms of what you are allowed to do and what I'm allowed to do, how to play this game, what are the rules, what are the rewards of the game, what are the consequences, and who we're going to be accountable to. Those are the four elements of a game, of a relationship. And whenever the rules are not being abided by, cheated, maybe bent in a unilateral way, that's when the trust begins to, or the distrust begins to build, and eventually there's no more game. In this case, your ex-best friend obviously broke your trust because she broke the rules. And the question is, how do we get back to even keel? How do we get back to justice? Because one thing that I've said on the show many, many times is that the human brain really hates injustice and is always seeking for justice, for 1 + 1 = 2. So the first question, should you meet with her? The answer is she mature enough? And you know her, is she mature enough to handle an adult conversation and answer in a truthful, honest way, as opposed to attack and blame you for what has happened with your husband?
Sure.
And the answer from your perspective needs to be yes or no. If she is mature enough, then I think you should meet. If she's not mature enough, if you know her, she's going to blame you, she's going to blame your husband, she's going to blame the circumstances, and then therefore leave you with more questions than answers, then there are plenty of things that you can do on your own without meeting her. And therefore, I think as a meeting her is a net negative, and I don't think you should do that. But if she is mature, remember, you might only have one chance to have a conversation and to close some loops. I would literally take out a piece of paper and write down everything that you want to know, everything that you wish you knew, every question that you had asked your husband, every question that you need to ask her in terms of how and when and who and why. But I would just caution you with one thing. Do not ask questions that you are not prepared to get a truthful answer to. So in other words, you don't want to ask her questions and she's being completely honest that actually sends you spiraling. So, for example,
if she goes, listen, you outrageous slut, how many times did you gobble off my husband during the time you were pretending to be my friend? You don't want to ask that, right, Doc?
You don't want to ask that. So you don't want to ask things like positions and were you thinking of and who are you fantasizing about? And, you know, because the truth is you might get a truthful answer that you're not ready for that might break down your relationship with your husband, which you are trying to fix.
Right.
So only ask the questions that are pertinent, that are important to you, and that you are prepared to ask to receive the truthful answer to and move forward. Do not ask questions that you're not prepared for.
Okay. Where should she do this? In a neutral place where there are eyewitnesses?
How dangerous is this ex-friend? So if you think that you... So I don't think you should do it in
the Drickus fight
in your home. So don't do it in any place that might trigger you. Don't do it in your house, because perhaps you know that your ex-best friend was with your husband at your house. Oh, and don't do it at her house, because that might trigger you as well.
I bet you she's got a van, that slut. Don't meet in her van.
Yeah, a neutral
place.
Sorry,
Heather.
For
sure. Of course, I'm taking this terribly seriously, Heather. I apologize. What is this, Doc? What is this? MM asks, we're in a good place mean? What does that mean, we're in a good place, when people say that?
So, you know, it's so easy to judge somebody that's been cheated on and say, well, of course you should leave your husband. Of course he's not good enough. Of course you can do better. But relationships are so much more nuanced than that. You know, there are kids involved. There are financial stuff involved. There are families. There is a cultural thing. There's an image thing. How will you be judged by your friends? How will you be judged by society? Can you afford to get another house? Would that mean you have to live in two separate bedrooms in the same house? Maybe you got a one-bedroom home and you have to now sleep in the same bed but no longer be married. So she has obviously decided and committed to a position, and I applaud her to committing to a position to work on her marriage. It's amazing, because most people sit on the fence, and sitting on the fence is disgusting, because you're not taking position A or position B, and you're just spiraling in no man's land. So the fact that she's committed to making the marriage work is amazing. And what happens the moment, this is an amazing part about the brain, is that the moment you commit to a position, your brain starts justifying why your commitment is correct.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't want to live with cognitive dissonance. So she's committed to working on her marriage, and therefore her brain is going, well, we are obviously in a good place. Right. And if I ask her why you're in a good place, she'll justify and rattle off a number of reasons, which is wonderful, because she's living in what we call psychological harmony.
That's good. So, okay.
It's a challenge.
First of all, I have to say, because we often start making fun of these things, but I mean, Heather, it takes some serious courage to even bring this up. And then to bring it on this show, I mean, Dr. Hanan's one thing. I mean, he's a professional. But to bring it and know Leanne and I are going to now get involved in your private life, that's very brave.
And judge you, harshly.
And judge you. And I mean, listen, I think you sound like you're a very, very strong human being. And I congratulate you.
Something, sure.
Jesus, I mean, I would just want to claw her eyes out and put snakes in her post box and, you know, and sew pilchards into her curtains when she's out.
And never mind that, also to her husband.
Yeah. He needs a kick up the ass.
Yeah.
I mean, what does she do about this guy? He lies in bed next to her every night, and she's like, oh, I'm dealing with it.
Yeah, that's very tough. We're in a good place.
Meanwhile, she wants to choke him to death.
Oof.
Hmm?
But you know what would be cool, Gareth? I wonder if we can arrange it where we can have the lady that cheated her ex-best friend on the show, and let me ask her the questions so she doesn't have to.
Right.
So that would be pretty cool if we can set that up.
Sure.
Jeez.
I mean, I'll just... Leanne and I will leave the studio. You come in and you do that without us, because we'll just ruin it.
No, but that's great. But that's what you call justice. On a serious note, that would be great, because you would ask her the tough questions.
No.
You would ask her why and the what.
You do it. No, we have you, not me. Very bad idea to have me.
It's very responsible.
No, you could be the great equalizer.
No.
Gareth, listen. I think there's something there.
Dr.
I think
Hanan,
there's something there.
You know what? You're a very, very kind and thoughtful chap, and I appreciate you giving me the confidence of being able to handle a situation like this. It would be very bad for all concerned. I would just make things worse. You don't need me involved. I'll put you here. Yeah, it'll go great, and everybody will be happy, and people will leave feeling happy, but you put me in there. Oh, my God. There'll be more affairs, more problems, murders. Horrific. All right. Well, listen, thank you for that. And Heather, you know what? Thanks for writing to us about this. And honestly, if you do have a problem and you would like Dr. Hanan to sort this out, he's so good at this stuff. You do a lot of these, like mediations, right? Where you sit with the couple and you help them sort out their problems. And we could do that here on the show. And it could be hugely instructive to other people.
Completely. I would love that. That would be wonderful. Let me do the work for her. For sure.
There we go. See, the heavy lifting is about to be done by Dr. Hanan on your behalf. I love it. Thanks, Doc. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right, guys. See you. Have a good week.
Awesome. Very good. And there are lots of cool comments. I haven't got to all of them in the comments section, but we will get to those in the next little bit. Leanne and I are here. Plus, we've got the most popular video we've ever had since we started Cliff Central 10 years and some months ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is it? How recent is it?
Oh, it's been up for 7 years or more.
Okay.
And you won't believe what it is. The most popular video. Well, we've got the star of that video coming back, returning champ. And we'll tell you why just after the break. Don't go anywhere.